time for some basketball talk. We're joined by John Corrales of the Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Hi there, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, you know, it's the All-Star break. Ah, it's exciting.
Kick back, relax, have a beer, talk some basketball.
There you go. So, I don't know. I feel like it came at a bad time for the Celtics. They were playing so well. Why you got to stop?
I know, right? But look, the Celtics are very happy to have gotten a break. It's nice to go into that break with some positive vibes. They needed those. And now, you know, Tatum and Brown, you know, participated in that game. But, you know, you get a couple of days off, and it's more rest than they've gotten since the beginning of the season. So they probably feel, like, super reinvigorated to get some practice time in. At some point soon, getting Marcus Smart back, maybe getting Romeo Langford back, too. It's a nice little energizing kind of boost for these guys.
So as for that four-game win streak, was it for real? Have they figured some things out?
I mean, I think what we figured out was that the schedule matters, and getting some rest and having some home games matters. I think the problems that they've had are still the problems that they have. Like, they still need some help scoring off of the bench. They need some wing depth. They still, when they're fully healthy, they can look really good, but they don't have a huge margin for error. So the injuries certainly took their toll. But again, a little bit of rest in for the Celtics in that winning streak, just in the form of going home to their own beds and sleeping and not having to travel to a different city and be in a different room and be in, you know, a different situation. That really, really had an impact, because some of the skids that kind of hurt them in the course of that February mess didn't materialize. Like, when they gave up a run in this winning streak, they were able to stop it. They were able to hit a shot or make a stop and keep that run from burying them, which they couldn't do, like, in New Orleans or against Dallas, or, you know, so that was really meaningful to have all that time at home.
Among other things, Brad Stevens looking at possibly changing up rotations. What's he got in mind?
Well, when Marcus Smart comes back, you're just not going to be able to start the double big lineups. They're going to have to go with one of Daniel Theis, Tristan Thompson, or Robert Williams. And if Romeo Langford comes back soon, then that's going to be another switchable wing off the bench that they can go to. And Brad Stevens has trusted him in the past, and that trust has paid off. So you know that Romeo Langford's going to get his minutes and his chances. So you're going to see less double big, or maybe even no double big, and that's going to raise an interesting question of how do the Celtics allocate their minutes, and who is going to get who's going to get benched, for lack of a better term. Like, at some point, one of these guys is going to have to sit for more time than he's been used to. So that's going to be an interesting thing to see how that all plays out in the 2 weeks prior to the trade deadline, at least.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown as the Celtics get ready for the post-All-Star break phase of things. Who's got to step it up? Who needs to play better?
Well, can I say everybody?
Yes.
Yeah. They all do. Well, I think just some more consistency from your big guys, from Kemba, Jalen, and Jason. But guys off the bench, you want to see a little bit more from. Robert Williams is playing well. Can he maintain that? Can Daniel Theis maintain that? Can they get some consistent contributions from, you know, if Aaron Nesmith is getting in there or if Peyton Pritchard is getting in there? But mostly when we talk about guys stepping up, I just kind of want to see a general team effort. And if Marcus Smart is back soon, maybe not for the Brooklyn game, maybe so, but soon, just an all-around effort kind of increase now that they've got a little bit more rest, a little bit more ball, or a lot more ball movement, I should say, and a lot more cutting and just a lot more activity on both ends of the floor. There's just no need to kind of hold back at this point.
Brooklyn on Thursday night as they get back at it. And, well, the Nets, at least last time out, played the way you would think a team with this much talent would play.
Yeah, they're going to be tough. And I don't know if Kevin Durant's going to be back for that game. And they added Blake Griffin, and he's going to be an interesting guy. How does he kind of fit into what they're trying to do? But that's going to be a tough game. But I think the Celtics have an opportunity with some rest. And if Smart is back, or I don't know who's going to be available there. But they could take advantage of some of the Blake Griffin minutes. He's going to have to get integrated, and there's going to be some confusion there. I think the Celtics can take advantage of that. If there is no Durant, then that's just one less weapon. And with the Celtics, with their rest, with Kemba being energized with Jalen and Jason, I think they have an opportunity there to kind of sneak in and out of Brooklyn with a win.
Well, that's a lot of talent, but you can't have everybody out there play 40 minutes a night. You have to have some kind of a bench, right?
Right, and that's going to be, I think, what they're building to in Brooklyn. Like at some point, the rotations are going to be kind of finalized might be the right word. That they're going to figure out how to play with everybody, but they're still figuring out a lot. Like in the middle of this first half, Kyrie Irving says, "Well, James Harden is now our point guard, and I'm going to play off the ball." Okay, great. And then they haven't been playing with Kevin Durant for a while, and there is a ton of talent there. The bigger question, I think, for me with them is, can the egos, when the pressure is on, when the playoffs, if any of this stretch gets tough, can the egos survive? And is it going to be one of those, well, I'm the guy that's going to be taking this shot, or I'm the guy that's going to be taking over, and if the wrong guy says that, is one of the other two, will one of the other two kind of be like, hey, no, this is how I do this now? And defensively, they've shown some progress, but they still have to show a little bit more, or else it's just going to be trying to gun their way to a championship. And if they get cold, then you run a risk of being disappointed.
I know you, like a lot of us, didn't think it was a great idea to even have an All-Star game. But as you look back, what was the best part of All-Star weekend?
Well, I kind of liked everything happening in one day. I thought it was just kind of a get in there, get out, and try to, I think, eliminate some of the lag between events and the things that can linger. Like, okay, the skills competition was disappointing, but you go into it and you say, oh, all right, well, the three-point contest was great, so I kind of forgot about how disappointing the skills competition was. And then the game was the game. That was okay. The dunk contest was kind of meh, but they get back to the game, and Steph Curry and Damian Lillard are doing some things. So I thought just kind of that rapid fire thing kind of made the whole night more enjoyable as a whole than it would have been separately. But I thought they did a fine job. I don't know what happened outside of the arena. I don't know what happened at the parties. That was one of my biggest concerns, like too many people coming into that city. But as far as the NBA goes, look, they got what they wanted out of it. The ratings seemed pretty good. Their demos seemed pretty good. They gave TNT a win, and the guys, no one got hurt. No one played too much, and guys seemed to have fun. And so you come out of it thinking, well, my big takeaway is, Damian Lillard hitting that half-court shot, and him and Steph Curry trading half-court shots, and Steph and Dame and Chris Paul going up for alley-oop dunks. I mean, those are the more memorable things. So you kind of come out of it with a decent feeling, and because no one got hurt and no one got COVID, you take that little win and you move on.
There you go. John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, the Locked On Celtics podcast. John, thanks as always. Enjoy the week, and we'll check in again next Tuesday.
My pleasure. I'll talk to you then.